Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. If Jesus isn't hopeless, you're not hopeless. Because in Christ, you can't afford a thought in your head that isn't in His, and He's not hopeless. Therefore, by sheer deduction, you need to get your hopes up. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining Elevation Church today. We appreciate you coming. We'll proceed. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not dismissing. I'm feeling a little fun. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you're the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. And all of the promises are yes and amen. And that the victory is yours and we're no longer slaves to fear because we are children of God. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Bible, there's the story of Moses and the children of Israel. Many of us have read the story. We've seen the Ten Commandments. We've seen the deliverance from Israel, the ten plagues and all of that. But one of the most profound portions of Scripture that the Lord had me cycle back to was the moment where Moses and the children of Israel have left their past. They've left Egypt behind, and they're on this journey. They're on this quest with God that they don't know where they're going. They just know they're not going back this way. And there's this place where they're in what I call a rock and a hard place. Or in this case, a sea and an up-close and very uncomfortable enemy converging on them. And they're in this place where they can't go back or they die. But the fear of where they're headed is also looming on the horizon. I felt very strongly after last week, we talked to you about upgrades, that the Lord is allowing us to find out who we are in Christ, and He Himself puts us in situations that reveals His glory through not only our testimony, but by revealing who He is in this world through us. And as He is, so are we in this world. The Lord will not exempt you from pain. He will not exempt you from trials. What He does say is that the victory is yours, and the way maker will always make a way when it seems like there is no way. It's like this. There's the Super Bowl. A lot of us love the Packers. If you went back to the 2010 season, how many know they won the Super Bowl? But when you watch the game throughout the year, when they were, they had four or five or six losses, those days after the losses, had you known they were already going to win the Super Bowl, your approach to those games that they lost might be a little different, yes? Likewise, in Christ, we win. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jesus. We win. That's the Super Bowl. So the question is how do we play the game in between here and there, especially when He says that we're more than conquerors and what we have access to there, we actually bring here. What would it be like to actually live like that? This isn't a concept and a neat, nifty Sunday preach, but it's actually a reality 24/7. See what I'm saying? Like, what if you actually believe what I'm preaching? What if you believed you were upgraded? What if you actually believed you could do all things in Christ which strengthens you? What if you actually believe that? Yes, there's barriers. But if you start from the ending and you say the victory is yours, you say, yes, I'm no longer a slave to fear, then the only thing you have to fear is fear itself. Huh. So I want to talk to you about the Waymaker. How many of you are excited about the Waymaker? He's a person. Exodus chapter 14. This is the scene. So Moses and the people are on the verge of a real breakthrough. And I want you to see yourself in this story is that Moses is a leader and he's in a sphere of influence. And as I go through the narrative here. I want you to see yourself as Moses in the story. Better yet, I want you to see as Jesus in the story, because you are in divine union with him. You're in connection with him. Everything Jesus said, does, and models, I say it almost every time I preach, everything he says we are and what he can do, he says in him we can do too, because as he is, so are we in this world. So Exodus chapter 14, it says, Pharaoh drew near. The sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord and said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For, you know, it would have been better to just serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness here. Now, I want you to consider something here. Bad things do happen to good people, and sometimes good things happen to bad people. But how many know Jesus died for every human being, and in his economy, there are no bad people. They're just people worth dying for. That didn't get a lot of applauses. And the reason why is because we see other people as our enemy, Republican, Democrat, autocrat, libertarian, or whatever. How many know that's a political spirit? It's a spirit of division and has no place in the kingdom. Well, you mean I can't vote Republican or Democrat? No, you can vote whatever, but just know that your identity isn't Republican or Democrat or autocrat or libertarian. Your identity is dearly beloved child of the Most High God. That's your identity. And when you get an, when you understand who you really are, everything else falls into the kingdom, because we serve a king in a kingdom. We don't serve a political agenda. I didn't say this in the first service. Somebody needed to hear that today. Are you saying I don't vote? No, you vote. Just understand who you are in Christ. What would it be like, by the way, to affect every sphere of influence, like Moses, everyone in here, you have an opportunity to bring your kingdom thought process into every sphere of influence, in your home, on the job, in the government realm, everywhere you go, at home, wherever, you have a sphere of influence and a land that God is calling you to. What would it be like to actually live with kingdom principles, that the kingdom is here and we're advancing it? See, this is the place where when we come up to roadblocks, when we come up to Red Seas, these Red Sea moments, oftentimes we ascribe, well, it's other people's fault, or it's the past's fault, or we're always assigning blame. Listen, God is good no matter what. God is good. Not everything that happens to us is from God, but God is good, and that's the final word. So in this particular situation, and not all, but in this particular situation, it was not the devil that put them in front of the Red Sea with the enemy coming behind them. Let me just tell you, and this is for somebody in the room, in this case, God himself put them in an impossible situation. And some of you are complaining, this is impossible, and God's saying, get excited, upgrade. But I don't like it. I want to go back to the wilderness and think like, walk like an Egyptian. Anyway. God, what are you doing? One of the tragic things we see here is it says in that portion of Scripture that they looked behind, and they beheld the enemy, and they got afraid. Can I tell you, if you read and talk and speak and pump up and talk about the problem and speak fear, talk fear, listen to fear, and propagate fear, what are you going to build up? Fear, a stronghold. And the Lord says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound mind. So what you feed on manifests. What you look at, you become. What you behold, you become. If you look at fear, you will grow in fear. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Why? Because Jesus was perfect faith. And faith destroys fear. Actually, so does perfect love, which I'll get to in a minute. Here they are on the verge of an impossibility. And we see that God put them there. And so later in the text, In verse 13, it says, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you've seen today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." A couple of things that I want you to just camp on right there and ask yourself this question. What is the stuff that has kept you up at night? What is the stuff that you're thinking about? Maybe even right now, you came in heavy. What is that thing that's keeping you up at night? Maybe the fear of the future or what is right in front of you. Or maybe your past. Egypt representing your past, coming up beside you. The enemy coming up from behind you, reminding you of who you were or what you did or whatever that may be. What's keeping you up? Oh no, my past is coming back to bite me. Can I just tell you, in the name of Jesus, I destroy that lie over you right now. That one is flushed in Jesus' name. It says here that the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Here's another one. Leaders, if you lead anybody at any place, anywhere, and in any environment, if you're a parent or whoever, if you're in a place of God-given authority, you need to understand this. You will be misperceived. And there will be temptations to want to manage your reputation by telling the world how much you've been dishonored. And the Lord is saying, zipit.com. Keep silent. It says here, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. There are moments in your test as you cross the Red Sea, as you face the Red Sea, there are going to be temptations that you just quite bluntly want to get up on Facebook and tell everybody how wronged you've been by somebody, somewhere, someplace. You want to tweet it. You want to Insta-vomit. You want to do something with it. You want to let everyone know how wrong you've been. But I'm telling you, there are times where the Lord says, when you cross the Red Sea, you need to be silent. And let the Lord avenge you. And by the way, this one's free. I didn't say this in the first service. One of the most effective prayers that destroys the powers of hell is to bless those who curse and persecute you. And here's how you do that. Father, bless them. For every curse they've uttered, I pray that you give them a 30-60 manifold blessing over their life. Every place they've robbed me, I ask that you bless them. Well, that makes no sense. Well, it's an upside down kingdom. Get over it. We pray the opposite of what the devil's doing because his kingdom come, his will be done. Well, that's not fair. My emotions don't like that. Well, you're not led by your emotions. You're not led by fear. You are led by the word of God. And Jesus, the living word, died for that person who's persecuted you. Huh. Blessing those also means I'm a dad. When I bless my kids, that also comes with it an implicit correction. Yes? So when you bless someone, you're also asking the Father to adjust them. This wasn't in the first service. Mo, I'm really going after this one today. Maybe there needs to be a lot of blessing dispensed over people who've hurt you from your past. Don't let that come up behind you. You can't take that where you're going. What are these areas? Financial, emotional, relational, vocational. What is it that you've been staring at that's been terrifying you? Verse 15 says, the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." Sometimes you just got to keep going forward. Put one foot in front of the other. Paul said, "I press on, reaching for what lies ahead. I forget. That's a word for somebody today. Some of you need to forget the injustice because it's dominating your present and you can't step into your future because it's so big in your world. Your past is so big in your world that you can't get vision for the future. And it's not that one day you can't revisit it through the blood of Jesus. It's the pain and the enemy lies and the torment of fear that comes with it that you do not have permission to tolerate one step further. Go forward. You can't control it, but you can let the Waymaker deal with it. As for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. God made a way. It wasn't logical. It wasn't possible. All of a sudden, Moses steps out in his authority, and he parts, he puts his staff out, and all of a sudden, boom, water comes out. Pastor Rick said something in pre-service prayer that was pretty profound. He said, I wonder what they would have done when the Red Sea was parted if they hadn't had Egyptians and the enemy coming up their flank, if they would have been quick to run through the open parting sea. I thought that was a brilliant insight that you brought up this morning. Like, would they have gotten their, you know, thing going? I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes pain has a way of getting me on the move. Sometimes the threat of something from my past may propel me into my future, even though my mind doesn't want to go because it seems illogical. Does this make sense to anybody? Sometimes you've got to step into impossibilities, and the only way to do that is to go through your fear. See, if God's called you to it, he will get you through it, yes? See, in Christ, this is something that I'm getting revelation on. Now think about where they're at. You and I are in Christ before the foundations of the world. He is an eternal being outside of time and space. That means he was the solution to every problem that ever hit mankind before mankind was even brought into existence. So if you and I are in Christ, that means our Red Seas are also in Christ. That means that if we're in Christ, every situation we step into, not only are we in Christ, but so is that situation and circumstance. That means that I can't afford a thought in my head about the situation that isn't in his head about the situation. And if he's not hopeless about it, I can't be hopeless about it. So if I'm in Christ, so is my circumstance. And as free moral agents, we can either partner with fear or we can walk through and take authority over fear. Exodus 14, verse 31 says, when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord. They were in awe of what God did, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. In your spheres of influence, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young, old, whatever, if you're in high school, if you're in college, you're a young married adult, you've been on this earth for a long time, doesn't matter if it's your job, wherever you serve, in church, wherever, there's always going to be an opportunity throughout the week to fear. It is such a big deal that God said 365 times in the Bible, do not fear. Now, a lot of us say, yep, I agree with that theologically, but what we don't realize is when God gives the word, do not fear, he actually gives you the grace to do not fear. He actually gives you the power to walk right through it. And when you say yes to his grace, that grace enables you to do what you couldn't do, and you destroy fear. So I ask you a question. What are you afraid of? What is the thing that brings torment? What is the thing where it looks like an impossibility and there seems to be no way? Isaiah 51 says this, verse 12. You have forgotten that Yahweh, your maker, your waymaker, stretched out the skies and laid earth's firm foundation. But you live each day constantly worrying, living in fear of your angry oppressor who is bent on your destruction. But their fury cannot touch you. See, when God says, do not fear, this isn't a shame thing. Like, he's like, do not fear, Ryan, do not fear. It's not a shame thing. He's giving you the empowerment to win. He's giving you in that command the ability to perform something supernaturally in Christ that you couldn't do out of your own logic, human reasoning, or own human power. We're talking about impossible situations that God predestined, not predetermined, predestined before the foundations of the world for you to have a Red Sea moment. This is a defining moment for you. These Red Sea moments. I have been in places, I was just talking about this earlier. I've had the spirit of fear, which, by the way, the more you entertain fear, do you know that it grows and you actually entertain a spirit of fear? The Bible says that we've not been given a spirit of fear. How many of you know it's actually a demonic spirit, a spirit of fear? You can create a stronghold in the mind, and all of a sudden you're partnering with that thing, and it's telling you things that are irrational completely. Look at all the phobias that are out there. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? Like technophobia. I think there's one called homilophobia. It's a fear of sermons. Just saying. I don't know if that's accurate. Don't Google prophet and tell me I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Just thought of that. There are irrational fears out there. These are strongholds. They come in backdoor places. There's no shame in feeling fear. But can I tell you, and it's not a sin to feel fear. What is a problem is when we partner and make agreements with that fear, and then it manifests and takes us places we don't want to go. It's not a sin to feel fear. It is a sin to partner with it. And even if you blow it, how many of you know Jesus died for it? So get over it. You guys are really quiet today. Really, really quiet today. It's okay, though. It's okay. You're processing. God does something for us, and he does something through us. See, there's the facts and the truth. I've said this a lot over the last year. The facts are I'm dealing with this impossible situation. The truth is the way maker's making a way, and I'm coming through the situation. Facts versus truth. In both cases, God's saying, do not fear. Listen, sometimes we make the problem bigger than our God. Isaiah 54:14 says, in righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear. And from terror, for it will not come near you. So, we're going to be far from oppression because we're learning how to not fear. And here's what I've found. The more I step into the realm of faith and I take risks, and I let go of control, the more God shows up in love, casts out the fear, and I begin to see the miraculous happen in ways I could have never imagined simply by putting one foot in front of the other, saying, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to look at my past. I'm not going to look at the past foul-ups, bleeps, and blunders because I've been around this mountain. I'm going to step into my upgrade. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to advance the kingdom. And by golly, I'm going to show the world around me that the God I serve is bigger in me and he's on me. And people will believe in him because of him through me. And we will transform a community. That's what I'm after. I preach it every single week. And after 52 weeks in a year, we're getting this. We are getting this. We are influencers. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Moses in an inferior covenant did the exploits of God. How much more with God inside of you can you do? Fear is a liar. And it's a thief. It says in Philippians 1:28. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He's been in jail. He's been slandered. He's been beaten. He's been through the ringer. He's been shipwrecked. You name it, he's been through it. This man was a wrecking ball on hell. Hell could not stand the Apostle Paul. He plundered hell like nobody's business because he was unstoppable, he was unoffendable, and he was unashamed of who he was in Christ. He would talk about crazy stuff like third realm thinking, like I'm seated in heavenly realms with Christ right now while I'm here. How many places in the U.S. right now could you say we're here and there and not get stoned if you're preaching it? Are you saying I'm supernatural? Yes. And fear wants to talk you out of that reality. Everywhere you go, you are a perfect grace zone in Jesus. You are fully authorized and empowered to step into your authority and into your identity. Now, in that story with Moses, you see Moses saying to the people, all right, gang, we're going to stand by and watch the waymaker make a way. And the Lord's saying, Moses, I got a different option. I want you to use your authority. I don't want to do this one out of your identity. This is not a time for you to sit back and receive it as a son, although I do that sometimes. In this case, step out, put your staff out, and I'll make it happen. See, sometimes we work out of our identity, like Jesus. I'm his beloved son in whom he's well pleased, and God will confer something on us, and we receive it as a child. And as a child, we receive it by faith, and we receive our identity, and God works for us. Sometimes he does that. Other times he says, no, I want you to step into your authority, and then I will make something happen. Well, which one is it in each situation? The answer is yes. Well, how do I know? You have to pray. By yourself sometimes, with God, alone. Without pastors telling you what to think. How about we point you to tell you go to him so he tells you what to think? And get in the word, and the word will tell you what to think. What do you think? Just a thought. So in this case, Moses is like, I need to adjust. I thought God's just going to do something to move this Red Sea. And the Lord says, nope, use your authority, stretch out your staff, and things are going to happen. Some of you are waiting on God right now, and God is saying, I'm waiting on you. And some of you have been trying to storm the gates of hell and call down demons and this and that, and you're fighting and you're using your authority. And he's saying to some of you, kick back, relax, I got this one on me. I'm so confused. No, it's called a relationship. And all of us as parents know when we're training our children into the ways of God, sometimes they need to learn how to receive because we just like to bless them and make it happen. And other times we need them to own it and win the battle for themselves. Yes? Same thing. So here's this situation, Philippians 1:28. Paul, he's in jail. He's writing half the New Testament. He has been through the ringer. And here's what he says. Not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation and that from God. So I want you to think about this. I want you to think about fear and going forward. These are the two things I really want to drill today. Dealing with fear and going forward through that Red Sea. And here's what Paul is basically saying. He's saying, of pertaining to this, he's saying, not in any way terrified by your adversaries. So you are so confident in your waymaker God. You are so confident in what he's doing that even when fear is staring you straight in the face and is shouting at you that you suck, you've got no power, nobody will listen to you, you have no voice, you need to be silent, you need to quit, you need to give up. When that thing is screaming at you, you turn that thing off and you broadcast to hell that I'm not given to a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of sound mind. I'm walking right through that Red Sea, and you broadcast to hell that they have no power over you. And you remind them of where they're going. And you're reminding them of where they're going because you're not. Where are they going? Straight to the pit of hell where you're not going. You're reminding to them of the defeat that Jesus purchased 2,000 years ago at the cross when the Bible says he made a show and a spectacle. Now, if Jesus took all authority and has all authority, somebody has no authority. Which means we have what? In him. Which means our circumstances are in him. So if we're in Christ, that means that fear is no longer an employee of this church. Thank you, Hope, for that quote. Fear is no longer an employee of the church. So how do you go forward? This is a part that I think is probably the most important part of this message. We're not going to partner with fear. We're going to walk right through it. We're going to learn how to receive out of identity and use our authority. We're going to learn how to hear the voice of God and take fear head on. And in 1 John, this is the antidote to walking out and destroying fear in your life once and for all. 1 John 4, verse 17 says, by this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he's not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God shall love his brother also. Now, rightly so, the emphasis in that text on love, God is love, the fact that we can come together and we receive the love of the Father here, my heart for everyone who walks through these doors is to receive the love of the Father. I mean, what breaks my heart, honestly, just being real, is when people come through the door, if they get ignored and no one cares, and then I come up here and preach that the love of the Father is unconditional, I've sent a mixed message to everyone who walks through the door saying, you matter, but you really don't. I want people to love really well, and the way we do that is we first receive love from the Father. Can't give away what you don't have, right? But the way you get that is you receive what he says about you. But, you know, we talk about perfect love casting out fear. And this is where it gets incomplete. And I think people miss it. is this. They come and they receive and they make church and the church experience, they make it all about themselves receiving love. And while that is true, you can't give away. Let me just tell you, there's another part to casting out fear through perfect love, and that is receiving love and giving it away. Jesus is the embodiment of love, and he came to serve others. You want to break fear? Let me break it down real simple. Serve other people, and by doing so, you'll love the hell out of them, and you'll love the hell out of you too. And hell can't stand it. See, perfect love casts out fear. I can go to conference, I can hear affirmations, I can get in the Word and remind myself all day of how dearly loved I am of my Father. And while that's true, love has to have a landing spot. Love has to have an expression. Love actually looks like something, and love does, not just love receives. So what are you doing? Here's what I'm willing to bet, because I've been there before. And if you've been like me, you've probably done the same thing. I have had seasons where in chasing the love of the Father, I have done more. I've made it all about me and me receiving. And to the exclusion of other people, I can't see the blinders, because all I'm at is about my problem. And what I've really done is magnify the problem, ask for the love of the Father to come to me in some big word, maybe at a conference or wherever, or maybe even on a Sunday. But the Lord is saying to me, Ryan, the more you give away, the more you receive. So go serve someone and love the hell out of them. Are you alive? So I ask you a question. If you want to live with perfect love that casts out fear, it's very hard to partner with insecurity, shame, fear, and the like when you're serving someone else. One thing I remember years ago as an addict was they told me, you want to get out of fear? Go help someone else. You don't have time to think about your problem when you're being a solution to someone else. Can I be really, really blunt today? I think churchianity sometimes, I've been guilty of it. We have focused so much on receiving the love of the Father, we forget that there are others out there who need to have it demonstrated to them in practical, tangible ways. This isn't a guilt trip. It's saying first love, because you receive love, and then you give love. You want to partner with perfect love, it will cast out fear. I know, because I've had moments, even in the last 6 months, where I've had moments where I wanted to quit and say, I don't think we're making a difference. I don't even know if I'm getting it. Have y'all ever heard that one before? Have you ever known the truth so well and then actually questioned yourself, is this just all smoke and mirrors? I mean, sure, I've seen tumors dissolve. I've seen things happen. But, you know, is this real? Has anybody ever besides me ever had those irrational thoughts ever come to you? Am I the only one here that's ever done that? Do you know that's from the pit of hell? Just want to tell you, it is. What I'm saying is it's not from you. It's not of you. And in that moment, when you say no to fear and you walk through the Red Sea, God, the Waymaker, shows up and he brings you into an upgrade, which is your promised land. Would you stand? I want to call forth our ministry team. I know we're a few minutes heavy, but it was important that I share this. A practical tip that works for me, I believe it'll work for you. If you go into your prayer time at home, alone, prayer closet, whatever, if you go in heavy with a problem, don't come out of that prayer closet unless you come out a little bit lighter, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The divine exchange is I trade my fear, insecurity, shame, whatever it is I'm feeling, irrational or irrational, the pain of my past, whatever it is. The Lord is saying, I need you to go forward and step into a Red Sea moment. But in order to do that, I got to have a divine exchange. Ryan, you give me your junk, I will trade you my peace, and together we'll go forward. See what I'm saying? So if you go in to pray and you don't come out lighter, listen, that's a problem. The enemy's lying to you. Do not come out of that prayer closet till you feel lighter and more hope-filled, because hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. These people will pray for you for your quiet times to come alive. If you struggle with connecting with God, have them pray for you at the end of the service. When we make it about us and not him, we become self-centered and self-focused. I said in the first service, today is a day where we die to selfie. self-protection, self-serving, self-justifying, self-defending. God's bringing power to help overcome that. If you are only as good each day as people are treating you, then I would say it's still become about you, because if you're affirmed today and you come in, hey, I'm affirmed, yay, I'm high, and then someone partners with a spirit of fear from some other person and says something really derogatory to you, and now you're in the pit, can I just tell you, Jesus was not in any extreme. He was perfect peace in every situation, and you have the ability to do that. You can feel fear, you can feel insecure, just don't partner with it, agreed? Okay? And part of keeping death to self is us walking out and serving one another. Not because pastor said so, not because it's the nifty Christian thing to do, not because church leaders are begging for people to do the family chores here. I mean, don't do the family chores because you have to. Do it because you love the family. See what I'm saying? God forbid we actually beg people to serve Jesus. Are you kidding me? He is perfect love manifest, died on a cross for my sins. I will be forever eternally grateful. I will do, listen, if I change poopy diapers, other people's kids' poopy diapers when I was first learning to just love people well, we can model Jesus everywhere we go, including the boss that you're upset with somewhere. This is real, it's practical, it's tangible. You have the power. So what I'm saying to you is, in my decree over you, do not fear. You are being enabled to not fear everywhere you go, to go forward in power for divine moments that the word says is yours and your inheritance. And on top of that, you're gonna learn how to operate out of identity as a son and a daughter, as well as your authority. And you're gonna know when to sit back and rest and let God handle it. And other times when he says, co-labor with me for it. He'll do something in you and through you. Why? Because as Moses said at the end of that narrative, he said that the people feared the Lord. They were in awe of the majesty of what God is doing in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And also they were astonished at what God did through you. The world will believe in God, but they also believe in you. And today is the day you believe in you too. Agreed? Would you bow your head? I'm going to read this over you. And I want you to see yourself in this. Philippians 4:12 says, I know what it means to lack. I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger, and I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Every difficulty. There is a story of a nurse that said in Australia, she was caring for people at the end of their life, and one of the greatest regrets that they ever had at the end of their life was people consistently said their greatest regret was not living a life of the calling that God had for them, meaning they lived for other people's approval and what other people wanted them to be instead of who God created them to be. And it required courage and Red Sea moments to pass through. God is summoning us to impossibilities. He's not going to exempt you from pain, but he is the way maker through that pain. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that in this service, there will be people that will come after service that will get saved. They will know Jesus. There are people that the physical manifestation of healing is being broken because the physical manifestation of pain, emotional pain and physical pain is being broken because something broke off in this very service through worship and in the preaching of the word. There are people in here today that came in hopeless and completely fear-bit, and are going to walk out of here full of faith, full of perfect love, which casts out fear. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. This Wednesday, we're going to have a member of our pastors answer a bunch of questions that I know some of you have been asking questions. We've been on our Wednesday night equip nights. That's a place for us to go deeper, grow stronger. And it's a place to ask the hard questions. And sometimes, even as pastors, we don't always like those questions because we don't always have an answer, but we will give you a response. Bring the questions, and we want to help equip you, because the goal is to not just bring church in here. The goal is to take the kingdom out there. And we want to help equip you do that. Amen? We'll see you next week. God bless.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.